Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
We are now closer to Marvel 2099 than we are to 1938's Marvel Comics number one.
I saw something today that we are further away from 1980 than 1980 was from 1939. And all I could think is, when I would read Golden Age comics in the 70s, I would go, man, these things look ancient. And I imagine that teenagers who are into comics now, who are being told, oh, you got to read the original Secret Wars, are looking at it the same way we looked at Marvel Comics number four. This looks ancient. I don't
really. Huh? That's what you want to start with?
Sure.
You cheater. You poser.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You, when I was sitting here waiting to record this here podcast, you were off cheating with another podcaster.
I'm
not looking for excuses. If this is going to be the last episode, just let our fans know you found somebody else you'd rather pod than with me.
No, Joe, it was the worst podcast ever.
I don't believe you. Obviously, they have something I can't offer you.
No, that's the name of the podcast, The Worst Podcast Ever.
Okay, explain.
That's the name of their podcast, what it is. It's three guys who all live in, they used to live near Kansas City, and now they live near Portland, and they get together and talk comics. Well, two of them were at the Kansas City Comic-Con, and one of them contacted myself and a guy trying to start a new distribution company for indie books. How many of those have we seen? And they wanted to talk comic distribution history. They wanted to talk why comics are $3.99 and up. And I was the history guy. I was the one talking about why comics failed on the newsstand. Why a lot of the people who say, oh, it's because of this or it's because of that, don't quite get why comic distribution fell apart. So it will be up Wednesday. And I will have a note in the show notes here for you to go listen to it. Now, the bad thing is they did it all on video. The good thing is they don't save the video. They just save the audio because, let's face it, I have a face made for radio.
I'm just looking at their Facebook page. They're going to be at like the Gary Marshall Theater, or we're at the Gary Marshall Theater. I mean, it's like, guys, you got to update your podcast page. Assuming this is them.
Yeah, it's Worst Podcast Ever.
Yeah.
And I will, the link will be in the notes. All kinds of news dropped this week, Joe.
Yeah, and the one thing that dropped that I really, really don't think we're done with this. We'll be talking after we're off the air. The best that happened
on you and a few other podcasts too.
That I missed was that somebody leaked the Sony Spider-Man trailer, and I had to go to our Star Wars man, Turbo Jackman down in Florida. And he told me, oh, it looks really good. And he saw all three of the big boys in there, including Dr. Octopus. So I imagine heads are rolling at Sony right now. I didn't see it, though. Did you?
I did not see it. And there are more than one people who say it might be a fake.
I don't know. The way Sony jumped all over it. I know I didn't see any official footage because anybody who does gets slapped pretty hard.
Yeah. We got the sales figures for July. And I know that you kind of roll your eyes and stuff. But I want to point something out with the graphic novel sales, Joe. Through Diamond.
I'm more interested in the comic sales, but I'll tell you why. I want to hear about the graphic novels first. Roll your eyes. I suppose this is where now I have to pay attention to him or he'll go somewhere else.
The number one selling graphic novel This is number of units, not dollars, number of units. Star Wars Legends of the Old Republic Omnibus. An Omnibus was the highest selling graphic novel in July through Diamond. Not just that, this is stuff that was, it has been reprinted by Dark Horse a number of times. Marvel actually has it available in their Epic line, but yet the Omnibus outsold Firepower, The Invincible Compendium, The History of the Marvel Universe, the Loki trade paperback, the Symbiote Spider-Man trade paperback, the Wolverine Epic Collection, everything. That blew me away. That means it sold over, it had to have sold at least over 2,000 copies. And this is stuff Marvel didn't even commission. Marvel doesn't have to pay anybody for it because Dark Horse is the one who published it. They're just, yeah, to grab the film and send it over and get that thing printed. That was kind of, that kind of blows me away. And it kind of shows, you know, we talk every month about previews about how, oh, this month is going to break me with all these omnibuses from Marvel. I think we see why.
Oh, yeah. Well, and most of them, like you said, they're through the direct market and they're sold non-returnable. So they, you know, that's just, that's pure profit. Psst, DC, you're listening. What I'm curious about, though, because I've been watching back issue prices go insane on, you know, just recently published stuff. And I'm just wondering.
I'm holding a $35 book that showed up in my box a week ago.
Are they, is it just because they're not publishing as many comics in going for the graphic novels, which obviously a can be perennials and make them more money in the long run? Or are we just, are people ordering tight? Or are we just, this does not feel like the speculator boom to me.
It's, the sales aren't big enough for it to be a speculator boom, but I think there is a speculation bubble happening. Right now in my hand, I have Batman Urban Legends number 6. Before this book even came out, it was up on eBay at $30 because this is the one where, who is it? Red Hood comes out as, no, Tim Drake comes out as bisexual. That's before the book even comes out, Joe. Now, first off, this is a book that isn't ordered real heavy because it's a $7.99 comic. And also, DC didn't say they were going to be putting that story in this issue, but also how much of it is that DC could have said it in previews, and nobody reads their previews because the print is too small. But once there's a press release, people go bug fuck. Much like Alpha Flight number 106.
Well, and it was the same thing with The Last Ronin. When the press got a hold of the fact, hey, the original Turtle creators are together, making that book go insane. So a lot of times the print run's already set. So it's not, that's why I'm questioning, is it a speculator mentality or is it like what I used to have? Oh my God, I got to have a first print.
Yep. I think there's a lot of people hear about it and go to their comic shop, but in the press release, you know, if you put out the press release 3 months early, when shops are placing their orders, good luck with that. Nobody cares. Oh, when is that coming out? It would be like if, you know, hey, guess what? There's this comic that's going to come out and it's going to be really big. When's it coming out? Well, November. It's not even in previews yet, but the press release is out because they make the big announcement. Then it's in previews and people, you know, flip through previews and go through. But then they send out another press release a week or two before it comes out to drive people to the shops. That's the one where people pay attention because it's like, oh, crap, that comes out this week. I better go to the shop. And shops base their orders on the interest 2 months ago.
Yeah, and it's not on everything either. I mean, I was looking, I read over the week, The Nice House on the Lake. And number one on that is like a $30 book. They were up to like a third printing, maybe a fourth. And as far as I know, that did not get any big press release. That might just be word of mouth. And of course, we can be cocky because we recommended it, you know, back when the previews were going. Maybe we're bucking a trend here. An exciting new trend.
The other thing is, the people who looked at Something Is Killing the Children. You know, same creative team.
Like, but nobody paid attention to that when it came out. And
yeah,
I know I recommended it just because it sounded interesting.
Well, and this is DC. It's a DC book. It's part of their horror line. Nobody gives a shit about their horror line until people all of a sudden went, oh, wait, it's the guy who does Something Is Killing the Children in Department of Truth. Those books are worth a lot.
Another book that we recommended that. So that's why I'm curious. You know, I don't know if it's. Is it a speculator boom or is it just people wanting to get on board after the fact?
I think it's a little of both. Because people are buying it. They're buying them all up, going, oh my gosh, this is going to be hot. And shoving them on eBay and looking, what's the highest price on eBay? Oh, somebody's got it at $30. I'll have it at $30.
I don't know if they're publishing enough of them to make that happen. There's got to be a demand before you can do the eBays. I mean, like what you talked about before, when they drop a press release and also, no, Last Ronin's hot, last issue of Batman's hot. But Nice House on the Lake, I mean, that means nothing to anybody outside of comics. And I don't know if it's just because they're just not publishing a lot and they're figuring, well, you're going to get caught up. Either we'll do a rare second, third, fourth print for Boom or for Marvel, DC, you know, SOP. Or maybe they're just saying, you know, eventually. I mean, I read this and I'm thinking, damn, this would make a hell of a miniseries.
Yeah.
I'm still creeped out, Bart. And it's been like over 48 hours since I read it. And like I said, I'm already ranting on it, but it's one of those things I'll get to when we get to geeking. Now, the other question I have, and is there any other news before we jump into the segue to Free Comic Book Day?
Those are the two big things that really jumped out at me. The number one book for July was Through Diamond, X-Men number one. What a shock.
And does that mean anything now that, you know, Marvel and DC and who else is going to whomever?
There is another piece of news, and the fact that X-Men number one reminded me of it. Jonathan Hickman, after Inferno, is leaving the X-Men and gave a very pointed interview as to why.
Summarize.
When he pitched the story of his X-Men run, he said, here's the first act, here's the second act, here's the third act. It was a self-contained story. We have been in the middle of the first act. And remember how I said, you know, it's going to lead up to, and then there'll be a second act, and then there'll be a third act. Well, Marvel is so happy with the sales and the process of the first act that they kept elongating it. And
they're cloning it.
And Hickman finally said, I'm tapping out. I've got commitments at other places. He's still going to do something big for Marvel, but he's tapping out on the X-Men. He has no idea if they're going to use his second or third act. He and some other creators are going to a thing called Substack, which is a website where basically you subscribe to a person's creative stuff and they send you everything they do for a certain dollar amount. It's like Patreon, except Substack pays the creators in that they've hired James Tynion IV and Jonathan Hickman and Scott Snyder, and they have a salary, they have benefits, and they set up, okay, if you want just the bare bones of what they do, it's $7 a month. If you want more, it's this, you know, different tiers, just like Patreon. The thing is, Substack has been going for a while, and there are some bloggers and commentators who've gone over to it. So I'm a little wary of it because it seems to me a lot like these startups where, boy, they got a whole bunch of money because everybody thinks it's a great idea, but who's going to pay that monthly fee and for how long? and the content farm idea, I know this was 20 years ago, was already done by CrossGen. And their sales were okay. But man, they burned through all their seed money in about 2 years. And this is a bigger company. They've got venture capital people. But how long till they burn through all their seed money? I can't tell you how many internet-based startups you hear, oh, this is going to be a huge deal, and we've got all this. And they burn through all that money, and they're gone. Pets.com is the most famous example. But there are tons of them where, hey, we've got all these creative people, subscribe, we've got this set up, boom. Now, the other thing is that when this stuff goes to print, it's probably going to be a lot like the deal that Comixology has, where, okay, you can get it on Comixology, and then when we go to print, we're going to go to somebody like Dark Horse. And Dark Horse is starting to put out omnibuses that are, here's the entire story from this Comixology series. Or they'll go to Image or somebody else to actually have it printed and get to comic shops. So that's something that's going to be interesting. Will people follow these creators away from comic shops? To, I want everything James Tynion IV does sent to me every month for $10 a month. Or I want everything Scott Snyder is going to do. Scott Snyder announced 7 series he's going to be doing through Substack. Are people going to sign up for that? Are they going to wait till it's on paper? Are they going to wait and see, like I am, if this is going to be a viable concern, or in it's going to be like Napster where, oh, look, it's been 6 months, they're out of money, goodbye. Going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. And that's all I have for news. Do you have any other big news that you've been reading about or hearing about or
not really? I've been kind of busy, and we'll talk about that later. You know, just getting the charity booth ready for FallCon, which will be September 25th. But I'll talk about that later because I want to talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah,
we went
all over the place. Our biggest group yet.
Yeah. We had the Birch, who does not like to do podcasts, apparently. I mean, really, I thought you and him went off and did a podcast, you cheater. The lovely Lisa, who herself is going to have a table at FallCon. So if you're looking for some rare pops or some interesting toys, run and check her out as soon as the doors open. Dan and his lovely wife, Jules. And of course, we could have gone with just Jules and left Dan at home. Wolfie was on board. And then, of course, we had Corey and myself.
We were there?
So,
I
was in the back, Jack. All I knew is that at the last moment, I thought we could have taken my cop car and just sped around and freaked people out. But it was more fun to have everybody in the car. I don't know. Did you get any good video or audio from it? Or was it too loud?
I haven't listened yet, okay. But I can't imagine we did, because we had two people in the front, myself and Jules in the middle, you and Dan in the back. And there were times when it was there was one conversation going on in the front, one conversation going on in the back. Yeah. So I'll see if there's anything salvageable of it, or if I'm just going to send it to us and go, here you go. Here's us talking.
Yep. And I always thought you should do that. I mean, if you just put the raw video up on, or audio up on the YouTubes, and just let people listen to it if they want. You know, it's they want to listen in and see what it's like. Hey, it's your dime or not. So we basically we got together, Free Comic Book Day, and met over at my place.
Yo, donuts.
Yeah, I know. Corey complains bitterly. He's been a donut bitch ever since Tim Horton pulled out of the Twin Cities. Are they even in the United States, or did they just...
Oh, yeah, they're still in the United States. Just
okay, it was just our area, whoever had it, collapsed.
Well, what it was, the guy who started them all up here it didn't do as well as he had thought. So he wasn't making as much money. So he told Tim Hortons, look, you're charging too much for the franchise fee, and you're charging too much for materials, and I'm just not going to pay it. And Tim Hortons said, well, if you're not going to pay it, we're not going to ship you anything.
Yeah, funny how that works.
And so some of them have been repurposed, but there are still a few. I know the one in uptown Minneapolis is still an empty, sad Tim Hortons.
Yep. So we got the Lisa brought Hy-Vee donuts. Nobody really ate many because she left an entire box behind that my kids consumed.
She brought two boxes of 20 donuts.
I know.
So
and hardly anybody ate them.
I ate two. That's a lot. Because they're as big as your head.
Our first stop, we went down to Invergrove Heights to check out Nerding Out, which is 9079 Buchanan Trail, Invergrove Heights. I don't know why we chose the shops we did, because none of the stores we did actually were really doing Free Comic Book Day big time. I think Nerding Out was the only place I saw that actually had free comic books out. And as we had box sets waiting for us at Granite City, our ultimate stop, we didn't go to the Source. We didn't go to Hot Comics. We didn't go to any of these places.
You're skipping our first stop, Joe.
Well, I barely remember because I was in the back seat.
We went to an outdoor
toy
swap.
Yep.
Where I think all of the vendors were disabled.
Yeah, I've got
a special setup. All of the vendors were disabled. They had toys and comics and cards and all that sort of thing. Not a lot of comics. But I did buy a video game.
I'm trying to find
a special Halo 4 super duper with all the bells and whistles edition, because I'm a big Halo nerd. And even though I have Halo 4 already in the Master Chief set, it's like, oh, this has a special cutscenes and all the basically it's the super deluxe edition, which when it first came out was like $100 and some, and this guy was selling it for $10 because he'd already played it. It's like, hell yeah.
The name of the organization is Wealth. Share at wealth.gives or www.wealth.gives, G-I-V-E-S. It says their vision, supporting and sustaining diverse local community brought together through a shared love of toys and play. Wealth is a registered 501 charitable organization. Donations are tax deductible. They accept donations of new or used toys and games all year round. So that's all the information I have. I did take down. We're actually going to try to talk to them and see if we can't get them on one of our podcasts and maybe talk a little bit more about their mission. But they're slowly working forward. Trying to get their social media site going. And like Corey said, it was outdoors. It was a beautiful day to be outdoors. And they had a bunch of dealers set up. I know I picked up some stuff. I'm looking at one thing I picked up. If you recall, way back in 1995, Todd McFarlane did a bunch of toys on Youngblood and Wetworks. And this was a box set. I don't recall if it was a... an exclusive or whatever. Inside it has Shaft from Youngblood and Mother One from Wetworks. And again, it's just one of those things, limited edition. I don't know if it's I'll figure out more about it later. I haven't decided if I'm going to keep it or donate it to the charity show coming up or I don't know. It's but all I know is that prices were good. The people were very, very friendly. And had I understood what exactly they were doing, I probably would have showed up with a lot more money than I did and bought a lot more than I did. The other thing, too, is because Lisa was driving us, we didn't really have a ton of room in back. So we didn't, you know, I don't know. That really didn't hold me back from buying things. But on the other hand, I didn't really see a lot that I wanted to buy other than, like I said, I'd just be buying things to help these people out. So So that was the first stop. And then we, from there, we took a long drive down to Nerding Out, which I talked about earlier. The Welsh show, by the way, is right on Larpenteur Avenue by the Cub Foods there. And I misunderstood where it was at. I thought it was by the Cub Foods in Harmar. So after that, I just stayed in back and didn't drive. I just made noise, fetched a lot about not driving a cop car. I'm telling you, man, people are just so slow. But we went to Nerding Out. And Nerding Out, we've been to dozens of times in the past. It was a place we hit on Black Friday. Might even go there again. They had a sale going. I picked up a bunch of stuff out of the dollar bins. I don't think I picked much of anything else up.
Yeah, I just, when we go there, I just go through their dollar bin. I don't know where they're getting the stuff. But, you know, you've got a lot of 90s cheese. You've got some 80s stuff and some older stuff that, you know, Joe is able to pull treasures out of. I'm just looking for reader copies of things. So basically, if it's a DC horror book from the 70s, I'm going to pick it up. If it's a Marvel Western, I'm going to pick it up. If it's a complete miniseries that I haven't read before, I'm going to pick it up. I spent about, $15,
$20. And hang on a second, Nerding Out. Because Nerding Out's got a con coming up, and I just wanted to drop it.
Yeah, it's expensive to go to, too.
Yeah, down at the Mayo Civic Center, Friday, October 22nd, it starts. And I'm just going to jump on. It's a three-day show. Mayo Civic Center, October 22nd through the 24th, down in Rochester, Minnesota. They got lots of vendors. They've got guests. I'm just looking, like I see Scott Steiner, Jason Mewes, the Black Ranger. So if you go nerdingoutcomiccons.com or just put out nerdingoutcon3 in your Googles, you get all the information on it. If I go, it more than likely will be just on the Sunday. If you're game to go, Corey, on a one day, let me know. Otherwise, I'll just check it out. I'm just going to look at ticket prices quick. Blah, blah, blah. Sunday, find tickets. Survey says.
Yeah, dun, you got to buy them through Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Damn Ticketmaster.
So, yeah, $18.75, it looks like, plus whatever Ticketmaster wants.
So, yeah, the ones I looked at were Saturday, and they were in the $20 to $30 range.
Yeah. So I know I've got the last couple times I've seen people go, they said they had a great time down there. So, but we got all sorts of shows coming up. I'll talk more about it when we get to geeking. So after that, we trekked over to everybody's friend. And I say that ironically,
Steve Brown, man of renown, man with a frown.
Cedar Cliff Collectibles, which we have talked about the oodles of time, 1960 Cliff Lake Road over in Eagan. Again, he wasn't dealing in Free Comic Book Day, but he did have a lot of free comic books going. I went omnibus crazy because I had, first of all, he prices them very well, and I haven't gotten an omnibus through Discount Comic Book Service in a while. And I thought, you know what? Time to play some catch up. So I picked up Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, which I confirmed with Corey was the magazine, volume 2. So still need a volume 1. I picked up the Marvel Masters of Suspense, which I believe was Lee and Ditko doing pre-Spider-Man stuff. And then Monsters volume 2, which I did buy volume 1 from Steve, ironically, at the last comic book show. Was it a year and a half, 2 years ago? And then I pick up the Black Widow series, which has all her appearances up until, I don't know, Mark Waid. I don't know. But I'll crack them open. I picked up a few other things, but that was kind of the big one that I picked up.
I picked up a bunch of trades, and then in his $2 bin, he had a bunch of Best of Mad and, believe it or not, a Super Size Crazy. So it was basically double size issue of Crazy, which was Marvel's Mad knockoff in the 70s. It reprinted some earlier stuff, had a new Teen Hulk story, and my favorite, Jim Owsley, who now is Christopher Priest, was the editor. He took The Death of the Phoenix, took about 10 pages of that, and rewrote it to be a comedy. And I remember they did that in the last few issues of Crazy, where they would take classic Marvel stories and, you know, rewrite them with funny dialogue. And back then I liked it. Now I like it even more because it's so, just so odd that they they didn't do more of that in Crazy. They never really sort of played with the fact that they were connected to Marvel until the very end. Also, the movie parodies in it were written by Larry Hama.
Hama.
Who was an actor, editor, artist, one of Wally Wood's assistants, and is still writing G.I. Joe.
We did take a Taco Bell break, mainly because everybody was getting hungry. After that...
And donuts are good, but man, sugar don't last long in you.
No, not at our age. And then after that, we took a rambling up to Dreamhaven. And Craig wasn't there, unfortunately, but we did spend quite some time. Dreamhaven's huge. I mean, when I swear I didn't see anybody there of our party until after everybody was like, oh, everybody left. I'm like, well, whatever. I'll just keep digging through Dreamhaven, take a bus home. But they sent Butch back to get me. I bought, the weirdest thing I bought from Dreamhaven, they had a dollar cart outside, and I picked up this three books from Pallard Press called Leonard and Larry.
Oh, yeah, I remember that strip.
Yeah, it was, let's see, Leonard, Larry, assorted friends, relatives, acquaintances, rivals, enemies, and even a few ghosts assemble. And it was a comic strip. Our heroes in the fourth volume read the Velveteen Rabbit to their grandchildren's lead, deal with jealousies and intolerance, witness the coming out of a popular soap opera star on live TV, and find a time to do a bit of remodeling. Let's see, what did I get? I got volumes. That must be volume one. Actually, they didn't really say, they don't have volumes on here, but I picked up one called All Real Men Do It. Kurt Cobain and Mozart are both dead, and domesticity isn't pretty. And they were all for a buck. And I'm like, you know what? I'll read these for a buck. They should be kind of fun. Of course, I had to bend one of them, so they're not mint. But I'll just go back buy another one. I dug through his quarter boxes for a minute. I found a bunch of stuff back in the adult underground area. So it was kind of fun. Dreamhaven's always got tons of stuff to buy. Between the three stores we talked about, I got to admit, I stayed pretty calm. I think part of it was because we were trying it. We had to be on the road by 3 o'clock because we wanted to get to St. Cloud, mainly to visit. What's that? What's the name of that bookstore we love?
Books Unlimited.
Limited, yeah, because they close at 5. And last year we got up there at 5 only to find out they were closed.
Nope. So, last year, we actually had to go on a Sunday. They were closed because of the pandemic.
Oh, is that what it was?
But the year before, we got there, and it was like 4:45. And at 5 o'clock, we're like, oh, my gosh, we got to hurry. And the people at the register were like, oh, no, because they saw the stack of books we had there. Oh, no, keep digging. Well, this time we got up there, again, 4:45, and at 5 minutes to 5, they were like, you need to bring your purchases up. And it kind of surprised me because every other time we've gone in the past, they want to stay open to get that last dollar out of us.
Oh, yeah.
But this
time... Yeah, which is weird because you would think a small independent bookstore would want that instead of... the two people running the place were a little older. So maybe they had, you know, maybe the Viagra was kicking in. I don't know. I'm just casting aspersions. But again, as someone who owned a small business before, especially a bookstore, you know, I can understand where you might want to say, okay, we're going to be closing down. But they were pretty insistent about it.
Yeah. We're going to shut down at 4. Leave that stack of books alone.
Oh, well.
So the bad thing was I was only able to find 3 or 4 paperbacks, whereas normally I walk out of there with, you know, an armload. At Same Dreamhaven, thing. I did what I always do. I raided the dollar section and then the used book section. And mostly when I'm there, I'm looking for either the first book of a longer series so that I can read it and see if I want to continue, or anthologies. And they had a bunch of fantasy and science fiction magazines from the early 80s for $1 each on the outside. So I picked up 10 of those. I said, I'm only going to take 10. I will tell you this. I'm already getting my money's worth because one of the anthologies that I picked up, I was at the group home Saturday. I had to get there early. I had to be there at 7 in the morning. And once I got the clients up and got them fed and put on the kitten and puppy videos, I was at the house where everybody wants to see the kitten and puppy videos. I had nothing to do till it was time to make lunch and nothing to do after that. Read the whole thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I picked up a bunch of Star Trek books. I just figured I'm going to start picking on the Star Trek books again. A lot of them are out of print and, you know, even Half Price are disappearing. So kind of went through, picked up some things that I've never read. I picked up like IQ, which was written by John D. Lancey and Peter David.
Kind of shocked you didn't have that one yet.
Yeah, I might, but I don't recall reading it. I read the back and then something else, The 34th Rule. Armin Shimerman wrote it with David R. George III, who I love. I never did pick up the Time 2 series because they had like the Time to Love, Time to Whatever. So I figure I'll slowly pick those up. So I'll just kind of reassemble what I know. I've blown out a bunch of these, but there's a few I'm going to hang on to and reread. And then we wandered down to we went home, didn't we? There was nothing else to do. No, of course not. We stopped in and checked out Tim there at Granite City Comics and Games. They said they had a really good free comic book day. He has the whole thing going. He has a sale going. Did not have a guest this year. If he did, they were gone before we got there.
He didn't have his dollar bin. Butch was very disappointed. Well, it's hard to,
I know, but they also were like full of other things. I mean, he told me he had shut down his eBay store because it just wasn't worth it. We talked a little bit about the upcoming distributor craziness, and he's not looking forward to it. I know I picked up a number of things from him, the box of comics. We're also probably going to do a trade maybe before the con, where I'm going to bring him up all the Transformers I got sitting around the house, because he brought in a bunch of Transformer toys and sold the living bejesus out of them. And he's like, you got more? I go, well, yeah. So I spent most of yesterday. It was really nice pricing them out. And I'm like, ooh, I can see why he wants these. And so I imagine there'll be a trade going on, because I don't really. Well, we kind of talked about trade. I don't have it with me. It's out of my reach, the things I bought. But most of it was, like I said, a couple signed books. How about you, Corey? Anything particular you pick up?
He had the TKO trade paperbacks. TKO is one of those publishers who's not going through Diamond, and they publish their stuff three ways. You could either get it digitally, you could buy individual issues, or you could buy the trade paperbacks, and they have them all available at the same time. So he had some of their trade paperbacks, and I decided I would pick up a few just to kind of see what their packaging is. Their trade paperbacks are a little bigger than a regular comic size, and have not had a chance to crack them open yet. Mostly what I did was I sat outside yesterday because it was a beautiful day, and I read some of the free comic books. And we've been going for about, let's see here, we've been going a little over a half hour. Why don't Why don't we talk about some of the books we picked up? I'll let you go first.
All right. I'm just kind of sorting them out because I basically took a bunch to work. We had a good day because there was the last flight was canceled, so I was able to read through some stuff. Not everything I was impressed with. Some of it I did like to sample. I really paid attention to DC. The first one I looked at was Suicide Squad King Shark Special Edition. They also had Suicide Squad Get Joker. Both books kind of tripped my fancy. The King Shark one, I think number one might be out already. That actually looked kind of cool. And, of course, everybody's scheming on King Shark because they love his character from Suicide Squad. So that I thought was interesting. I did read the Batman one, Batman Fear State, I Am Batman. Even as I stare at it, I'm not really into Batman all that much, so it didn't really strike me that much. I did read the Amethyst, which, again, these are all how would you say, Corey? The kids' novels, really? Not so much.
Yeah, Amethyst and the Beast Boy and Raven were two of the young adult novels that they're putting out.
And it was a flip book, Batman, Robin, and Howard. Now, of all these, I'm actually, Batman, Robin, and Howard looks interesting. It's from the New York Times bestselling author of Jedi Academy and Spacetime, Jeffrey Baum. I don't know if I would go full price on this, but it actually caught my interest, as did Beast Boy and Raven. And I was so into Beast Boy and Raven, my brain was jarred as when I got to the end of it and realized, oh, this was just a sampler for the upcoming graphic novel on sale in September. And then, of course, I discovered that apparently this is like Act 3, because Raven was in her own graphic novel and Beast Boy was in his own graphic novel, and now they're coming together. So I may have to go out and look for these, because I don't know if I would probably borrow them. Well, if I get them cheap enough, I'll keep them. The Batman, like I said, I'm not that interested in. Suicide Squad King Shark, I think I may pick up. And Suicide Squad Get Joker, I've got to think about. I don't recall if these were in this month's previews, but either way. So DC, well done. Well done. If the purpose of this is to not only get me to try something I wouldn't normally try, you batted, I would say, 75%. What was your first run, Corey?
First one I read was a comic that was recommended to me by Serena Valentino, who does the Disney villain novels and did Gloom Cookie and Nightmares and Fairy Tales back in the day. It is 10 Tons of Fun, because her significant other, Justin Sane, has one of the stories in it. It is four stories from a company called 10 Ton Press. The first is Red Dawn, which is kind of a standard superhero book set in 1999 with a character who works with the government to take down terrorists. All of these, well, the first one is kind of a, how long is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 page teaser for the first issue. I thought it was well drawn. I thought the story was interesting. It's a little odd that they set it in 1999, but it had me interested. The next story is the one by Justin Sane and John Hageman. It is Charlie and Humphrey. Charlie is a cat. Humphrey is a horse. And in this story, they have a boat and they take tours of Alcatraz. And it was very much aimed at kids. A lot of sight gags. I really liked it. I thought it was a well-done kids comic. I think any kid who reads it is going to be brought in by the artwork. The gags were funny. The setup was fun. And it was complete in complete in one. It was also the longest thing in the comic. The next was a Rock and Roll Biographies by Greg Boucher and Vic Moya. And it was the story of, Rob Halford leaving Judas Priest to form a band called Fight. How he did that and then went back to Judas Priest. I'm not all that interested in the material, but if you are interested in heavy metal and rock and roll and behind the scenes stories, and you don't already know this stuff, it serves its purpose. You know, it's okay. And then the last story was called Becoming Frankenstein. It was written by Mel Smith and Paul Birch, drawn by Frank Sirococo, who, if I remember right, did some stuff for Marvel at some point, unless I'm getting his name mixed up with somebody else. But it is set in the 1800s. It is a young Victor Frankenstein beginning to basically showing up at university and starting his experiments that would lead him to create the monster. I thought it was well done, but the problem I have with all Frankenstein stories is that mine has been dug through so much, it's really hard to find anything new in it. I thought it was a nice preview. It's a comic that I may give a try if I see on the stands, because it's, I think the layouts and the art is well done. I'm just going to be interested to see where they go with the story, if they do it something interesting, or if it, because it kind of felt like, okay, we've gone over this before. So that was 10 Ton Press. What's the next one you have, Joe?
Tales of a Grown-Up Nothing by Elizabeth Pitch. This is from Silver Sprocket. I just picked this up. Basically, I went through my whole pile, and I picked up the Marvel, DCs, a few of the other ones that I was real interested in. This one just caught my attention because it's got this woman on a skateboard, utterly, utterly terrified. And you flip over, and it almost looks like the Simpsons spoof. Because, you know, there's an annoyed cop, and somebody's with a saxophone yelling at her. I wasn't quite sure what to make of this because, again, this is a grown-up nothing. And, you know, as I was reading through this, I didn't quite know what was going on. And I have a feeling this person doesn't know either, because it sounds like she's just kind of going through life. What sold me, and as you're reading the gag, and I don't think this is necessarily all for just kids. But actually, definitely not for kids, because her roommate and her boyfriend are sitting on the couch. And then, oh, I'm sorry, they're sitting at must be breakfast. And then all of a sudden, the protagonist, the girl who tale of the girl, the nothing, comes walking out totally naked with a dildo. Casually reaches into the mini fridge, and the roommate's like, do you have company? Nope, she says as she chugs the milk. And the boyfriend of her roommate just kind of, should we have more pancakes? And she's like, what? Turns around, impales one of the pancakes on her dildo, and walks out of the room with it. Thank you, Peter. You had me at that gig. This I'm not sure if let's see, 250 pages, available 2021 from your local comic book store, which means I should have already ordered it through my previews and didn't, but I will contact my local guys and order it. That's pretty much really the only beefing with Free Comic Book Day, and really it's not a beef that anybody could have done anything about it. Everything I'm interested in, like King Shark, they've already solicited for issue 2. This book's already been solicited, but the final cutoffs have not come. So basically, if you're if you're interested in nothing, walking around with dildos impaled on pancakes, this is the book for you.
I'm trying to see if we got a website on this thing, but I imagine Silver Sprocket is the publisher. And from there, go for it. Or just dig in your free comic book thing, because it's in there anyways. Corey?
One of the books I read is On Tyranny, which is it's a sneak peek of an upcoming graphic novel, which is it's supposed to be an adaptation of the book On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. Here's the problem I have with it. It's not a comic. It's basically, they took the book. It looks like the lettering looks handwritten. It probably is not, but it looks handwritten. And there's some illustrations. But as I read through it, you know, I've read this book already. I don't see the need for an illustrated version selling in comic shops if it's not going to be a comic. And this was one of the things that I kind of like Free Comic Book Day, because everybody kind of throws their stuff out there and says, here, you should try this. And maybe somebody who hasn't read the book already and would be interested in it would pick it up. But for me, it was that the lettering kind of gets in the way of what's being told. The art didn't appeal to me. And it actually made me very glad that I'd bought the, you know, the regular prose book rather than buying the trade paperback that's going to be coming out of this. This publisher also is going to be doing graphic novels about activists such as Frederick Douglass, the Black Panther Party, things like that. I'm interested to see what they do in the future, but quite honestly, this gets a thumbs down from me, because I don't think putting it in a comic form help the writing. It still felt very much like, oh, here's a book, we just added some pictures to it. Joe?
I really, really enjoyed the Archie Free Comic Book Day book. What they did is it's past, present, and future fun. And they basically, they're listening to the podcast, and Bill Guerlier and Angelo DeCesare. They must be listening to my idea, because it's like, you've already got multiple Archies, so they have Crisis on the Riverdale Earth. And basically, Jughead, not your Jughead, but another one, shows up. He's from the Time Police, and he needs your help. Your Earth's Archie Andrews. And goes through all the different versions of Archie. Why? Well, because apparently there is a character that Little Archie fought, Little Archie's nemesis, Mad Dr. Doom, who we've talked about already, joined forces with Evil Heart, Pure Heart's nemesis, to hatch a plan to collapse all the continuums into one. Fortunately, this was all done in one. There's three stories, plenty of appearances by all the Archies, all the different characters. Just a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it. Again, you know, Corey and I complain because there's really not a lot of Archie stuff coming out. But at least not what we were into. But they do a good push for their Art Sabrina Teenage Witch. Teenage Witch. The Riverdale series graphic novels. Looks like a big push for not only their merchandise, but their graphic novels beyond the stories. But these are just fun stories, just done in one stories. And this is just one of them I'll probably hang on to. I know a couple of years ago they had a digest on Free Comic Book Day where Archie took a left turn or sort of a right and ended up walking into Riverdale of youth and ran into like the Archie we knew way back in the way he showed up originally. Oh, he makes an appearance too, by the way, in case you're worried. So this was kind of a fun book, goofy little one, just to remind us there has been 80 years of Archie. Whether or not it gets us excited to read more Archie, well, we'll find out in future episodes of previews. Mr. Strode.
The next book that I read was Bountiful Garden by Mad Cave. And if you look at the cover, you really don't know what the heck this book is about. But as you read through it, it is about a ship. It's a science fiction story about a spaceship that comes out of suspended animation early. And the crew realizes that it's 5 years to their destination. They only have 2 years worth of food. So they're going to have to figure out a way to find food. They land on a planet that they are passing by. And oddness ensues. This was the only thing in this comic. So it really feels like you read the entire first issue. The characters are drawn with rather broad strokes. You know, everybody, just to introduce them, it's this guy's the angry guy, this guy's the smart guy, et cetera, et cetera. The art is, I really like the art because they differentiate between the characters very well. They use different coloring for different parts of the ship so that you can tell what's going on. My only concern is, again, this is a story we've seen over and over and over and over and over. What are they going to bring new to the table? And while this was a good hook, it didn't get to the point where it's like, oh, this is different from what other things I've read. So I'm interested. I will probably pick up the graphic novel when it's available. But again, if you've read a lot of science fiction stories, you've read this story a bunch of times. If you've watched Star Trek, you've seen this story a bunch of times. I can't tell you how many science fiction movies in the last 20 years have sort of used this premise in one way or another. So I'll be interested to see where they go that makes it different. And Joe, what's your last one?
Let's see what to pick. Judge Dredd, the Overstreet Guide to Collecting Comics, which I always recommend ordering tons of these to give to new guys. Let's give Marvel some love. Let's see. What do they got? They got two books. The first one is, it looks like a prequel to an Avenger coming on. I don't want to spoil too much because it's obviously a lead into whatever crossover is coming, which will begin on Avengers 50, which is good because I'm really ready to tap out on Avengers. It just hasn't caught me. There's also a quick peek at the upcoming Hulk, because obviously the I can't think of the word. Immortal Hulk is coming to an end, and they got a new team coming on. Jason Aaron, Ibn Coelho. Both these interest me. So I'll probably be picking them up. The other one they had was a Spider-Man Venom. The first part was Venom, which while I found interesting, not enough to it kind of caught my attention, but not enough to really want to follow it. And that's probably just because I'm kind of being resistant on Venom. The other one, though, is I think kind of a sneak peek on what's coming up with Spider-Man. And if you haven't been hitting the deadline or listening to what's going on, I'm going to give you a spoiler. Here's your spoiler warning. He's going to die. So out of the four done, I think three of them I'm interested in. The Venom I'm vaguely interested in. Again, it's a number one. Again, what Corey and I were talking about at the beginning, you might want to just pick it up just because if it is hot, well, just look what happened with Thor number one after Jason Aaron was done with it. Everybody thought, we're done 7 years. And now that issue's upwards of above $100 because nobody bought it. Again, you can get it in graphic novel. You can get it in different printings, things like that. But, maybe we're getting back to where number ones are worth picking up. Who knows? So that's not that again, for me, the most impressive pile was DC, just because they got me really interested. Even as we were talking, I've added King Shark to my list, and I also added the other one I was raving about, the Tales of a Grown-Up Nothing. Corey, what do you got for us? What's your last pick out of the oodles of books we got? Uh-oh, did I lose him? Maybe he's off with somebody else podcasting.
No, I was coughing, so I hit the...
He's probably podcasting as I talk. Fine, Mr.
I'm recording three podcasts at once.
That's the only way you're going to keep up. But it's not time to talk about that. It's time to talk about your final pick for Free Comic Book Day. At least the first batch.
It is from Fantagraphics' book, Red Room by Ed Piskor. Ed Piskor has had a... I think people know more about him now because he's worked over at Marvel doing some stuff for them. The Grand Design books. He did the X-Men Grand Design, the Fantastic Four Grand Design, where he takes the entire story of a series and kind of boils it down to what if it were just one story. And I was interested in the kind of stuff he does because he also does something called Hip Hop Family Tree. And I'm not big into hip hop. I'm sorry. I'm just not. But he also does a horror comic called Red Room. And this is a sampler of the stuff he does in it. And these are some really hardcore horror stories. Red Room is about an internet group that broadcasts murders. And the art is, it feels very undergroundish. It doesn't look like regular comic art. It's more that scratchy underground feel of books like Slow Death and Death Rattle and the things like that, with the underground horror stuff. This is not for kids. This is nowhere near stuff for kids. These are horror stories that will creep you out. One of the things Rob Zombie talks about when he talks about making movies is he has a love for 70s horror movies that felt really dirty and grimy, where, you know, after you saw something like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or The Hills Have Eyes, you needed to take a shower afterward. This made me feel that way as well. It's a horror story that's, you know, it's not sanitized in any way. It's not mainstream. It's really hardcore horror. Not as much gore as you would think, but the ideas he puts out of people watching murders on the internet and the people trying to stop that from going on, and the kids who stumble onto it and don't know if it's real or not. It was disturbing. It's very well done. I can see why Fantagraphics is publishing it, and I can see why comic companies are like, this guy is a real talent. But I think that the subject matter and the way it's done is kind of a limited audience. If you don't like a hard R horror movie, don't read Red Room, because you're not going to like it. But if you do like that kind of stuff, or you're curious about it, it's well done. There are four issues, and there's going to be a trade paperback in October. And then in monthly, he's going to be it doesn't say if it's a mini series or a regular series, but it's going to be a monthly from Fantagraphics. I'm sure we'll talk about other stuff. One of the things about the comics I read, most of them were really good about having, here's where to get the book, here's the order number. If you want more of this, tell your shop owner, this is the diamond number. Or here are the graphic novels that we have out, ask for them by name.
And like I said, these are all for books that are going to start dropping in October. Not too late, even though you're going to get this podcast probably after preview orders are due. You can still tell your comic shop, hey, I want to jump on board. Like I said, I'm jumping on King Shark with issue two, but I know I can pick up a number one and like tie into what we talked about at the beginning of the show. It's changing with comic books. If you want it, let them know, because you also run the risk of you might be the first one in line Wednesday and they might have sold out because everybody else was smart enough to put it on their pull list. So let your friendly neighborhood comic shop know so they can order it for you before it gets here. And let's keep everybody in business. It's been a rough couple of years.
Now, you know how I talked about Red Room? There are some kind of gross websites that are part of the story. Most of those gross websites don't just pop out of nowhere. Nope, they do. They have malware. They have viruses. They track you across the internet. Here is a company that will protect you from all of those horrible things. Our sponsor, NordVPN. Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you. You could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager, which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files that backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net/SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a one-month plan, a two-year plan, a one-year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. Speaking of horrible things, here are my other podcasts. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, 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 not where he puts potato chips in between layers of potato salad. No, it's Joe. What's going on the eBays?
Oh, all sorts of fun stuff. As we get closer to FallCon, things will start to disappear. Why is that? Well, ideally, I sold them. But there's a lot of things I have on there that are being sold throughout the year for the MCBF's charity booth, of which you all know that I run. This includes things that Kelly, the guy running the joint, gave me a ton of really, really cool books. And some of them are on eBays, and they're going to slowly disappear because I'm going to be bringing them to the Fall Con. If you see something that suddenly disappeared you had your eye on, it's probably because it's now sitting waiting to go to the show. And if you're really interested, of course, I'll put a quick auction back up just for you so you can buy it. However, there are a number of things that did sell. I sold Torchwood number 1 through 4. It was a 2016 Doctor Who TV tie-in from Titan Comics. I just like the photo covers, as you know, and this story was okay for a comic. Why they haven't gotten John Barrowman to do his own series again, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. But to me, it's just money on the table because he's fantastic. I know he was in the last Doctor Who, and I'll catch up with that online. I sold the Barbed Wire Omnibus. This was one that my daughter gave me. Barbed Wire, of course, while the movie was an all-time turkey, the regular series were fairly decent standard throughout. Reading this off of my go-to site, AtomicAvenue.com, operating out of a bar in a rundown industrial city, Steel Harbor. Barb is a bounty hunter, a particularly glamorous one, prone to displaying acres of flesh. Despite her aversions to the superpower types, they just can't avoid her. Luckily, more offbeat paranormal like Motorhead and Machine are also on hand when matters escalate. It's a solid superhero comic, decent art from Paul Glacy. Had the omnibus, and this is one of those books that's out of print that people are asking silly money for. Mine didn't go for silly money, so plus now I can turn around and give the money to Dana. I sold a Heroes comic book. I'm sorry, Heroes Comics 2014 Heroes Initiative benefit book. This was the J. Scott Campbell variant cover because everybody likes J. Scott Campbell. And inside, of course, is a virtual who's who of stuff. If you find these anywhere, I don't know if anybody's doing a Heroes Initiative benefit book, but for a while IDW was doing them and they were pretty good. Sold a Painkiller Jane Dark Child preview book from 1997. This was one of the myriad crossovers of the Bad Girl art. Came with its own certificate of authenticity from Dynamic Forces. There was a series called Archie 3000. Think of it as like Jetsons with George, Jane, Judy, Elroy, Astro, and Spacey taken out and Archie Andrews shoved in. By the way, that free comic book day book I talked about earlier, Archie 3000 was mentioned. So it's all canon, folks. It all happened. I have a few odd issues in there. Most of those will be going to the art show. So if you are at all interested, now's the time to grab them. I have the hardcover, so I'm slowly got rid of the soft covers of Promethea. This was the Wunderbar series that Alan Moore and J.H. Williams III had done from 99 to 2005 through America's Best Comics, which now I guess has been swallowed by DC. In the 5th century Egypt, a young girl named Promethea was taken to Immaterial, a world of myth and fiction. Growing up in the world where all dreams and stories come from, she would wander from time to time into the imagination of writers in our world whose enthusiasm for the character would project her onto themselves or others. And in 1999, a young Sophia Brangs begins her term paper on the ever-appearing character and discovers Promethea's last host. Now she flies above Promethea, that is, flies above the city, and her enemies gained over the ages are not happy to see her back. Corey, did you read this as it came out?
Yes. Now, I read all of the America's Best Comics.
I heard the last issue was like a poster, or was that just a limited edition that was like a poster in a tube?
It reads as a regular comic, but if you take it apart and lay it all out, it is one large panel.
I wonder how that works, because I got the hardcover trade.
I bought two so that I could take it apart.
maybe I should have kept that book five and done that, because I know the last issue is silly money. Not only issue 32 itself, the limited edition, which was produced as two posters in a cardboard tube with a copy of Promethea cover special. So and there were only 1,000 of those made, signed by both Alan Moore and J.H. Williams III. That's what came out first. And then the comic book came out around the same time. So go out and check that out. I haven't read any of it, so I'm looking forward to it. When I was back in New York City, I stopped by Midtown Comics, picked up the Muppet Show comic book variant cover that had Muppets was from Boom, part of their kids line. And we made 500 of these for Midtown, and somebody made an offer. They made an offer, and I didn't refuse it. A couple other quick things sold. Wolverine Punisher Revelations, that's the graphic novel when Punisher died and he was working for the Angels, if you remember that. Why don't they ever bring that back?
Because it was awful.
Well, yeah, but the right writer could. I envision a series where, like, that Punisher comes forward from the past in order to kill the current Punisher because he has to die for all of his sins. But what do I know? Every time I make up an idea, somebody steals it.
I'll stick with the Garth Ennis. Yeah, a bunch of angels tried to get me to work for him. Didn't like it. Told him where to stick it.
Well, still, if Garth Ennis made the story, it could be pretty sweet. 1993, there was a bunch of Marvel giveaways in newsprint form. I've talked about these previously. I had one left of the Ren and Stimpy show. And this one, let's see, I actually stamped my comic shop on the back of it. So it wasn't mint. The one that's silly money, if you can find it, is the Transformer one. Easily going for $100, mostly because when it came out, none of the Transformer fans were aware of it, but now they are. The finale, I sold a copy of Robin number one, the embossed variant cover signed by Scott Hanna and Chuck Dixon. I imagine they're both rolling in their grave because now their version of Robin has come out, hasn't he? Oh, well. And Jim another Drake.
So it was the third Robin.
Yep, that was the third Robin, I believe, because this was after Jason got whacked. He got better, though. The last thing I sold was a giveaway from Heroes Illustrated number one. Or actually, I should say that I sold it with a copy of Heroes Illustrated number one, which are surprisingly easy to find. This was Comic Books Who's Who 1994, which was a fantastic look at what was going on. Hero Hall of Famers, Batman, Catwoman, Daredevil, Darkseid, Dr. Doom, Fantastic Four, Flash. Let's see. Hero Superstars, Badrock, Breed, The Crow, Elektra, Firearm, Grendel, Madman, Megaton Man, Normal Man, Future Stars, Axe, Black and White, Death Grip, Evil Ernie, Hardware, Hellboy. Well, we can see where they went. That these were the hottest things going in 94. Not now. What else is hot? Well, take a look on my eBay site. You know the drill. Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you find something you like, if it's too high, let me know you listen to the show. I actually had a guy the other day, he sent me an offer and it was ridiculous. And I said, no. And he said, hey, I thought you said if you listen to the podcast, you give a deal. I said, but you didn't tell me you listen to the podcast. So I gave him a better deal. See how I work? And I gave him a key to Corey's house. Of course, he's waiting out. I said, the big thing is if you can get into his reading room, oh my God, the stuff you can read. Not me. I put my stuff on eBay. K-R-A-Y-Z, come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I eat an apple pie while Joe goes on and on and on about his eBay.
On and on and on.
No, it's Freaking and Geeking Joe. What are you freaking on?
Oh, just my day is just crap. Beer's frozen, burnt my pizza, wife's pregnant. I just can't pull anything out on time.
What?
I will say people are really, really crabby. I don't know if it's the full moon or just people are just crabby. Work's crabby. Home life's crabby. People I work with are crabby. I'm just tired of the crap. So I just kind of checked out. I'll talk about what I was doing on the eBay or on the geeking side of things. The only other thing that bummed me out, and you know, I've had these wireless headphones. I'm not talking on them, but they're basically just Bluetooth. I listen to them when I'm either listening to music on my computer or mostly when I'm at work, after work, and we have, you know, we don't get to go home anymore. We got to hang around and, you know, because they don't want to give us, you know, better chance of catching COVID if we hang around. Oh, am I bitter?
No.
But my headphones died. The weird thing was the on button died. Couldn't get it off, couldn't get it on, and I just watched it slowly eke away. I mean, I'm sure I could charge them up and use them, but yeah, and it's just weird. It's like you think, oh man, everything died. Well, I've had them like 5 years. That's pretty good life for headphones. It's like when our washer died, or even the more recently, the hot water heater fun I was talking about.
Yeah.
We've had that thing since 2003. That's pretty damn good life for a water heater. Anyways, I went out and I bought a new set. They should work fine for listening. They're not, I got to give them a shot. I mean, they're kind of, they don't sit over the ear very well. They just kind of sit on the ear. They are padded and they have a built-in microphone, which I'm not sure if I can delete it or not because I want to listen to music. I don't want to listen to me coughing. I actually tried them earlier on before we started the podcast here. And yeah, that's not a good microphone. But whatever. Like I said, it's just the weirdest things you freak on. Like now my computer's acting up. It's only a year and a half old, which I guess is ancient for a computer. Oh, well. Corey, what you freaking on?
I am really close to giving up on DC.
Really?
I can't, when I start reading a DC book, I hate having to guess, is this part of the main DC continuity? Is this a miniseries that's off on its own? Does this, is this part of the, and it's so frustrating because you'll read, oh, that's a really cool idea. And then you get to the end of the miniseries or you get to the end of the story and, oh, that wasn't part of the DC universe. We talked a little last week, Three Jokers was going to clear up all this stuff that had come out of Rebirth Joker about War. The Joker. And there were three Jokers. And then it came out and it was really beautiful. And but in the third issue, DC kind of put out a press release. Yeah, this is non-continuity. Or Doomsday Clock. Oh, this is gonna, and it was the key to why Rebirth was happening. Oh, it's not continuity. Then what? That means that all the stuff in Rebirth just kind of faded into oblivion. Or Wally West. He's a killer. No, he's not. 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 I'm not a continuity hound. I don't mind if you don't tie in everything to everything else. But I'm so tired of picking up a book and finding out, Joe, the new Superman, son of Kal-El. And they pitched, oh, this is, you know, this really big story that's going to have a lot of importance. No, no, no. It's set in the future, a possible future that may not happen. And I didn't find out that in the comic. Didn't find out that in the previews that they gave. Didn't find out in any sort of press release. No, the creative team said on Twitter. Oh, yeah, this is not part of continuity. It's set in a possible future. DC has done so many things to fix their continuity. So many things to fix their continuity. And then they pulled this shit. Add to that, that they gutted their collected editions. Just gutted them. To the point where, you know, one of the things I liked about DC is you could wait for the trade. Well, they don't want you to wait for the trade. They want you to buy the regular comic. And on top of that, we're getting rid of most of the older stuff that we're putting into trade paperbacks. Oh, and we're going to announce omnibuses that we're not putting out. I am at the point you were with DC where it's like, Why should I even pay attention to them? They're going to have this big Batman crossover that's going to be 50-some books. How much, and why would I read it if I, well, the guy who's writing it announced he's leaving at the end of the crossover, and they'll probably go, yeah, that crossover, that wasn't in continuity.
That never last.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Say what you want about Marvel, and there were people who, oh, they don't understand their history anymore. No, they don't. They don't put out a series and then go, oh, yeah, that Dark Avengers stuff that Brian Michael Bendis did. Yeah, that's not part of continuity. After Secret Wars, there were a lot of people worried that, oh, they're going to hit a reset button and get rid of everything. And no, they didn't. You know, the whole one more day, they're playing with it now because everything that's the one thing I can always count on with Marvel. Even if they screw something up, they'll go back and fix it at some point. I mean, you go back to the original run of Marvel 2-in-1, half those issues are, yeah, this was a story somebody started somewhere else and the book got canceled, so we're going to tie it up here. With DC, it's like, what books are part of your main story and what ones are just, we need another Superman book. So, this one's set on Earth 455, but we won't ever tell anybody. It's so headache-inducing that it reminds me of the New 52, where they had messed up things so much that I didn't care anymore. And then Rebirth came and said, okay, I'm going to give it a chance. And now, you know, they do a three-year story, this death metal, heavy metal thing that's supposed to fix everything. And now it's even in worse shape. Go be your own little distributor. I don't care anymore. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Let's see. Well, I should say Crazy Comics. Always wanted to jump on a trend. As we, starting as the next podcast, are going to stop talking about comic books.
What?
Well, I mean, look at all the press only fans got because they're dumping porn. I figure we could just stop talking about comic books and get an equal amount of time. What do you think?
If OnlyFans is still around in a year, I'll be shocked.
Oh, okay. So we should probably keep talking about comics?
Yes. Okay.
Because otherwise,
it's this weird thing where TV networks and websites and things like that, they forget why they were created. This is going to turn into another freaking show.
Uh-oh, go for it.
Do you remember TLC?
Vaguely.
What was TLC? The Learning Channel. Well, then they started getting ratings showing Honey Boo Boo and Dance Moms and the people who have, you know, 8 kids or 10 kids or 52 kids or midgets looking for love or 90 Day Fiancé. We're going to have people, they meet and they get married in 90 days or Married at First Sight. Maybe it's doing better, but it's no longer the Learning Channel. What's wrong with the Learning Channel? Discovery used to be about science. Now it's about hillbillies going naked into the woods. The Science Channel is all, here's a factory. No, you're supposed to be science. History Channel is supposed to be history. If you're going to change who you are, change your name. A lot of people say, well, MTV, they don't show videos anymore. Yeah, and when they quit showing videos, they changed their name from Music Television to MTV. VH1. No one knows what the hell VH1 stands for, but they don't show videos anymore either. If you're going to change who you are, change your name. What are you geeking on, Joe?
Well, actually, I'm feeling
freaking
like
freaking me out that your wife is pregnant.
I think that, well, that's okay. I mean, number of years ago before Dana was born, way before she was born, I was sitting in my mom's kitchen and all her sisters were there and my brother comes in. Hey, did you give him the good news? What good news? Like, Chris is pregnant. And they all went, oh, she is. Oh my God, that's so great. Oh, this is fabulous. And they all turned on me. Why didn't you tell us that? Well, because she isn't. Oh, and they thought for sure we set that up. Nope, we didn't. And just like I didn't think I'd get Corey on a freaking. I got to tell you, though, I was watching a little enviously online our friend Stephanie Kofel, who we've had on a podcast or God two. Knows how long ago. And
she was on episode 500. No. And yeah. She was on 500.
It was on one of the big numbers, so it'd be easy to spot. She went to a comic show. And, you know, where Corey and I go to a comic show and we say hi to people and we dig through dollar boxes. Oh, no, she hangs out with Roy Thomas. She sees Cindy Williams. She gets one with Sam Jones. She has Roy saying, hey, I need pictures of you and Kirby. She sees old friends. She makes new ones. I mean, Corey, you and I are we're just posers in this industry. But still, it was fun to see her finally get out.
She worked in comics.
Yeah, I know.
She was a colorist at Marvel, DC, and Archie. And, you know, if you do that, you know everybody.
I know. Unfortunately, we didn't get to go to the con. So who knows? Maybe one of these years, Corey, if you're up to it and Seth is up to it, maybe we'll meet at a con somewhere. It'd be kind of fun to hang again. But then she could introduce us to everybody. So that would be fun. Kind of reminds me of the early days of the MCBA show because, you know, I would work and work. And then when the show would come around, everybody would be hanging with all the creators. And Pat and I would be retailing. And I remember talking to my good buddy Al Payne. I said, you know, you never introduce us to anybody. I know, you know, we do the work ahead of time and then we're busy doing retailer. But then afterwards, you're all hanging with the retails. Pat and I just kind of disappear and go do whatever. So... And that was cool. He finally introduced us. So we got to be friends with Dan Juergens, Gordon Purcell, Paul Fricke, you know, Angel Medina, all the guys who look at us and go, well, look at me and go, hey, when's Corey coming back to his show? Never. Just like the one coming up September 25th, Saturday at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. I'm talking about Fall Con XL. Admission, $12, pre-sale until September 1st, $15 at the door. Actually, when this podcast drops, yeah, you will have 2 days to get some of them pre-sale action. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I spent the majority of yesterday, not only like I mentioned earlier, pricing transformers, pricing stuff. My wife and I went into the garage. We were digging out stuff, finding all the fun stuff that I've been sitting there for the last 2 years, plus all the new stuff that up until COVID, I was actually accumulating for the show. And that's kind of what I spent most of today doing, going through, like I said, taking stuff off the eBays, pricing this incredible box of variants that Kelly gave me. So we got a couple weeks to go before it hits. If you're planning to go to the show, let me know. It'd be fun to see you. Say hi, because I'll be working the charity booth. And if there's something you're interested in, other than a key to Corey's place, let me know. I'll have it for the show. Save yourself some shipping. Save me some shipping. After that, of course, is Twin Cities Con, October 2nd and 3rd, 2021 at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Go to www.twincitiescom.com for more information, for more guests. They're loading people up. And then, of course, the aforementioned Nerding Con, Nerding Out Con, which will occur later in October. So we got some fun shows going up. Next week, but it'll be over by the time we podcast again, but there's another outdoor toy geeking show. Actually, I think it's indoors this time, so I'll be heading to that. And, you know, usually I go in, say hi to people, give out, pick up comics if they got them, look at toys. I'm never really looking for anything, but it's always it's almost more fun that way. It's like I've kind of lost the urge to, oh, I'm missing issues 5, 10, and 20 of my Doctor Strange collection. I must find them. Whereas now it's like, you know what? I'm just going to dig through stuff and see what kind of fun things I find. Just like some of the comic books I read. I mentioned The Nice House on the Lake. Oh, fantastic. Tim at Granite City was nice enough to hook me up with a number one first print. They're going for silly money. He gave me a decent deal on it. Which is nice because my first print came with the back waterlogged. I don't know how the hell that comic got waterlogged itself and nothing else. But I was able to sit down and read 1 through 3. I read it at the airport. When I looked up, I don't want to ruin anything about this because half of the fun is the surprise going in. But I felt like I was in a situation like Nice House on the Lake. And I look around and there's maybe a scattering of people here. And I was like, this is way too weird. Another book that's really cool from Nightfall, the last book you'll ever read. I bought the first issue. I didn't buy any of the other ones. I'm going to buy this as a graphic novel. Again, another book, basically an author's touring the country and people are reading her book and trying to kill her about it. Although they're also killing each other. So, hidden in our deep in our genes is the truth, and it's slowly crawling its way to the surface. This is out of Vault, so that's the publisher. First issue of Moon Knight. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Got the McNiven cover, and I'm real excited to see where this goes. I really want to sit down and pick up. I got the omnibus upstairs. I guess I could crack that thing open. Let's see. I want to go into. Well, I guess I don't have this much here. Gru meets Tarzan, number one. Hey, it's Sergio. It's got to be good. I mean, I love the Gru meets Conan, which, again, silly money because Dark Horse doesn't have the rights to Conan anymore. They will with Tarzan for a little bit, so we'll see where that goes. I read X-Men 1 and 2. I lucked out. They both came in box day, and I'm enjoying it. It's good. I is this part of Hitchman's second act, or is this just Marvel going off on Marvel?
Which one?
The new one that Dugan and Laraz and Gracie are doing.
It is a team that they're still connected to Krakoa, but they've decided they need to be superheroes because, you know, isolating themselves has gotten it to where people hate and despise mutants, but they're rejoining the superhero community. I really liked the first issue. I thought it was very well done.
Because second one is good as well.
It's superhero stories with the X-Men.
Yeah, they build a big-ass treehouse in New York, which is kind of fun. So I'm going to be sticking with this one. I was a little concerned I wouldn't like it because Hickman's name's not on it. But like I said, I enjoyed it. Although I was talking with some friends at work when they saw me reading this, and I told them, you know what's stupid? The whole I hate mutants thing. With a planet full of superheroes, robots, invasions, Sorcerer Supremes, and other whatnots, and Hulks. Oh, I hate mutants. It's old, it's dumb, it's boring. How can you just hate mutants? You really can't tell me, unless you happen to know, yeah, Cyclops is a mutant because he said so. Okay, this guy's got superpowers, this guy's got superpowers. Which one's a mutant? Sorry, boring. I'm really confused what happened in Fantastic Four, number 34. I don't know why Doom did what he did. I think Doom's an idiot. But anyways, and what happened was dumb. However, the taste of that washed out of my mouth because I did start Sinister War. I read it in the proper order, and I really, really, really hope that the Spider-Man wins out alone. I fear he may call the Spider Troops, but all I think of is that page that Ditko wrote all those years ago. The entire page took place in 9 seconds. That's how fast Spider-Man can go. And he's thinking full-on thoughts, but he can move super quick. I mean, he outdid the X-Men. He outdid the Fantastic Four. He's got, was it three or four groups of six villains each attacking him all at once?
Yeah, it's so fun.
I know. I hope he does it himself. That's all I can say. Superman in Authority, I enjoyed. It's Morrison writing it. How can you not like it? Again, other than like what Corey says, I did find something interesting at the back of the DC books. You got Mr. Bones from the Department of External Operations is watching Multiverse Mysteries. And then each one ties into a different book. Not that I'm buying them. Although I did jump on to Blue and Gold, written by Dan Jurgens, and Sook is doing the art. Is this again, I'm confused. Is this the original Ted Kord? Is he back from being dead, or did I miss something here? Oh, well, to Wikipedia. But I enjoyed it. It's a limited, both these are limited series, so I'm on board with that. And then I picked up issue 2 of Infinite Frontier. This is leading to something. And I guess I can just say Dark Side, right? Or Seed.
Dark Side.
Is. That's all you need to know. The final issue is something I'm going to talk about. I talked about picking this up when I was in Salt Lake City at Dr. Volt's Comics. The Shalom Nun number 1 Kickstarter edition. They've already kickstarted number 2. Kickstart number 3 is going to drop September 1st. I hope I can get a number 2. I don't really want to go digital because I'm more of a physical guy, but I did enjoy the number 1. So if you're at all interested, they're on Facebook. They're going to be on Kickstarter by in a couple days after this drops. What else can you say? Am I saying that right? Shalom Nun?
Shalom.
Thank you. Because, you know, sometimes I want to get it straight. I don't mind messing up names, but I don't want to mess up titles. So anyways, check it out. Like I said, yeah, number 2 has been already done. I think I can probably still, whatever. I'll let you know. I'll figure it out. If I find 2 and 3, I'll let you guys know. So that's pretty much it for me for geeking. Corey, what you geeking on?
After 7 years, Friday night, 9 p.m. Central, CM Punk took the stage at AEW Rampage First Dance just on the rumor that he was going to be there, because they didn't announce that he was going to be there. It was a rumor. They sold out an 18,000 seat arena. The arena the Chicago Bulls used to play in. Punk came out, talked for 20 minutes, said he was there. He loved the crowd. The crowd loved him. It was the most emotional thing I've ever seen in wrestling.
But tell him what he did on the way to the ring.
Oh, well, he was stopping and hugging people. And then at one point, he leaped into the crowd.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I saw an interview with one of the security guys who was like, when he leapt into the crowd, it's like, we've lost him. We've lost him. We've lost him. And he made his way back. They crowd surfed him back to the barricade, came in the ring. He gets up on the turnbuckles and they go, we're going to be away for 90 seconds. And when we come back, CM Punk talks.
Oh, yeah. My other one, too, is he hugged the guy who had the sign, if Punk doesn't show, we riot. Yeah.
One of the people at ringside is kind of famous. The guy who freaked out when Brock Lesnar showed up. He's known as Brock Lesnar guy. Punk was, high-fiving and fist bumping, passed right by him. But then, after he was done, he went over and gave the guy a fist bump. But I thought it was great. You know, boom, 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 boom. Saw him. Nope.
I remember
emotional.
That.
Emotional. It was amazing. I am a huge CM Punk fan. I've talked about it for years. I know why he left. And there were two things he said that really resonated. The first is he knew when he left Ring of Honor in 2005, he was leaving professional wrestling. What WWE does is something else. Vince doesn't even like to say the word wrestling. He also said, today I am back in professional wrestling. But then he said something that I think should resonate with all of us. He said, if you've been disappointed by my choices and the fact that I've been gone for 7 years, I just want to tell you, you can't get healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally if you stay in the place that makes you sick. And if you ever see a picture of the last time he came out for a WWE show and the first time he comes out for this AEW show, you'll look at that WWE picture and think it's the one from now and the AEW picture's the one from 7 years ago. He looks old. He looks tired. He looks beat down. He looks sick. And we've all heard the story about how, you know, he've had a staph infection, but the WWE doctor said, no, it's not a staph infection. You know, it's no big deal. Or how after he had surgery, Vince made him go out on the road and show up at events because he had no other stars. Nobody else had to do that. You didn't see John Cena after, you know, he had to have shoulder surgery showing up on the road. You didn't see Triple H when he had to have quad surgery showing up on the road. But Punk had to show on the road. And this was, they didn't have a brand split at the time. He would have to show up on Raw and SmackDown. He looked happy. And the other thing is that AEW handled it perfectly. There were people online who were saying, you know what would be great is if you have CM Punk's music start and MJF comes out. Oh, he would get nuclear heat. Yeah, and it would suck.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that moment. You wouldn't have the moment of when he came out and you get one of the biggest pops in history. You wouldn't have that moment of him coming out and connecting with these fans in Chicago, his hometown. 18,000 people who loved him. He just came out. He talked for about 20 minutes. He said that at the All Out pay-per-view, he's going to be wrestling Darby Allin because he sees what Darby Allin does. And he thinks if he were 15, 16 years old, Darby Allin would be his favorite wrestler. And Darby's been mentioning him. So, kid, you think that what you do is dangerous? You haven't seen dangerous till you've wrestled CM Punk in Chicago at a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. A fantastic wrestling moment. I was talking with some older fans, and they say it reminded them of when Dusty Rhodes gave his famous Hard Time speech, where it's just you emotionally connect with this person that you've followed for years, and you're just happy for him. And it's not about who's a babyface. It's not about who's a heel. It's not about the ratings. It's about the fact that this guy we love, who we connected with, is back. I also, Tuesday night, went and did something in public, Joe.
I saw the police report.
Well, I don't know why there'd be a police report since there weren't any police there. I went to a art event that is traveling around the country. It's in like six or seven cities now. It's called the Van Gogh Immersive event. And what it is, they set up two rooms and they had a 360 degree film projection of Vincent Van Gogh paintings that they had set to music, and they had motion, and in one room it was just the 360 degree, and in the other room it was projected on the walls and on the floor, and it was 35 minutes long. It was way overpriced. It was like $50 for this thing, and the way I'd seen the ads, I thought it was this room is this painting, you know, done interactively, and this room is this painting, but no, it was like that. But it was still just a beautiful, beautiful event. Very well done, very well put together. Blew my mind, really blew my mind. And I'm not a huge classic art guy, but I like classic art, and I like Vincent Van Gogh stuff. I was emotionally touched by how they put it together and the music they chose. And I did like that as you got to the door, if you didn't have a mask, they gave you one. They had hand sanitizer stations here and there. You're not able to do social distancing, but they did ask people, hey, you know, if you can sit further away from people, please do. Please make sure to wear your mask. If people didn't want to wear a mask, they said, well, then we'll give you a refund right over there. Thankfully, only one person was kind of a putz about it. And when the person didn't even argue, it said, oh, you don't want to wear a mask? Okay, refunds are right over there. Well, I didn't say that. Nope, refunds are right over there. And she tapped the sign. And it was really the first sort of social thing I've done in a long time. Very well put together, a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Comic-wise, Sunday, I recorded stuff for the worst podcast ever. Then I had to go and run some errands, which I hate doing. I hate it. 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 Because it feels like, oh, God, I have wasted 6 hours of the day. No, it was only like three, but it felt like, ah, I could have been doing things I enjoy instead of having to go here and buy this and drop this off and do that. But I was able to get home at a decent time around, 2:30 in the afternoon. The weather was beautiful, so I brought my little Bluetooth speaker. I grabbed my phone and set it on little Steven's Underground Garage. I sat outside and I read comics till 5 o'clock. I had no place to go. I had nothing to do. I could just do that. And I read a bunch of the free Comic Book Day comics. I read a little more of that Marvel August 1961, which is a really fun book. It's a really fun book. And I do want to point out a thing that really just hammered me in the head as I read that Marvel August 1961. First off, the only writers in it were Stan and his brother Larry Lieber. The second is most of the books were soap opera, romance, comedy. And there's a lot of talk online. Stan didn't do anything. Stan didn't do anything before the Fantastic Four. He didn't create anything before the Fantastic Four. I love Jack Kirby as much as, if not more than most people. But as you read this, you see Stan's the one who brought the soap opera into the superheroes. He's the one who brought the arguing into the superheroes. He's the one who brought the unrequited love into the superheroes. He's the one who brought the smart-ass dad humor into the superheroes. Kirby brought the excitement in the visuals. Stan brought the personalities. Stan's the one who made these into characters you care about. And it's like Lennon and McCartney. Lennon on his own, brilliant songwriter whose stuff is a little hard to listen to. Paul on his own, ultra poppy, easy listening stuff that is pure bubblegum. Put them together, you get the best of both. When you put Stan and Jack together, you get the best of both. Really kind of hammered home to me my feelings about their partnership and how it worked. So next week I will have even more comics that I've read, and I'll have the new previews. So Joe, if you have your previews next week, we could do that. Otherwise, why don't we just review some books?
We'll see what happens. The big thing is it's holiday weekend, so I have no idea if I'll be in town or not, but we'll figure that out as
this weekend's not a holiday weekend. It's next weekend that's the holiday weekend.
Every weekend for me is a holiday weekend.
Fine. Be that way.
Oh, well, you're going to go to another podcast. I can have two holidays in a row. Happy, happy, happy.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about comic books for an hour and a half.
Every week. Thank you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I bought some shoes from a drug dealer. Not sure what they were laced with. But I've been tripping all day. I got happy feet. I got a monkey on my back.
Joe, you know how they always say, now, I don't know if they used this when you were a kid or if this was after you were a kid, but the hugs are better than drugs. Do you remember hearing that?
After me. We didn't touch each other.
But do you remember them saying hugs are better than drugs?
Nope. That was after me.
Yeah, but you've heard that phrase, right?
Nope, I refuse.
Well, it's not true, and I can prove it.
Oh?
When is the last time someone drove down to Lake and Hennepin at 2 in the morning, got out of the car, went up to a real seedy person and said, I just need a hug?
I think it was in a Hellblazer comic.
Hit my music!
Somebody call my mama, it's about to get funky up in here. on, bitches.